We are up to Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Beis, as we continue our Shiurim here in Navi. This Perek is the Haftorah for Parsha Shlach. This is the second story of Meraglim in Tanakh. The first one we know ended tragically in Parsha Shlach, as we have the Meraglim returning, 10 out of the 12, telling over a Besora Ra'ah to Klal Yisrael, and eventually leading them to the Gzeira of staying in the desert for 40 years. The Haftorah for Parsha Shlach is Perek Beis of Yehoshua. When Yehoshua ben Nun, ironically, one of the two who took part in that first Meraglim discussion and trip, Yehoshua ben Nun sends two Meraglim out from Shittim, where they are, before they go into Eretz Yisrael, and he says, go to Yericho and find out what the state of affairs is in Yericho. They come to Yericho, and they come to the house of Rachav. All of a sudden, the king of Yericho hears, and he sends to Rachav. He says, who are the people who came to visit you? Please, I want them. I want to kill them. And Rachav says, I have no idea where they are. They must have left the city. Go search for them. And she goes and hides them on the roof. She sends out the people of Yericho to go search for 3 days. And in the meantime, she sends them down a rope from her roof and say, go hide in the forest for 3 days. After they come back into the city, then you could go back and tell Yehoshua ben Nun that I was, go back to be with Yehoshua ben Nun and Am Yisrael. Along the way, Rachav declares herself as someone who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone who has faith that Am Yisrael is going to be victorious in this regard, and therefore she makes them promise, we'll get to some of these details, that they will not cause any harm to her or her family, just as she did not cause any harm to them, as she let them into her house and saved them and did not give them in. They promise back to her, and they run away and they get back safely, and they tell Yehoshua, yes, Rachav told us that the coast is clear, so to speak, because they are scared of us, and everything is going to be good. We know Chazal tell us even that Rachav eventually married Yehoshua, which we will see in the coming psukim. So let's get back to the beginning now. That's the storyline. The first question is, Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun, when did this take place? We already spoke about that Bnei Yisrael went into across the Yarden and into Eretz Yisrael, into Eretz Canaan on the 10th day of Nisan. Working backwards, that's how Chazal understand that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zion Adar, as we discussed from the Radak in the previous year. When were these Meraglim, that's what they're called here, were these Meraglim sent out by Yehoshua? Rashi says, Al Karchi, Ani Tzarich Lomar, Shebetoch Yimei Evel Moshe Shalcham. Well, if you do the math, as we did before, so they went in on the 10th of Nisan. A month, 3 days before that, they had 3 days of preparation. So when did Yehoshua give the command to Am Yisrael that they were going in 3 days on the 7th of Nisan? Go back a month at Zion Adar. And that's what the Radak said. There was no lag time. The question is, if Hashem told him then to go in, and then he commanded Am Yisrael, so when were the Meraglim sent out? Says Rashi, Al Karchi, I'm forced to say, Ani Tzarich Lomar Shebesoch Yimei Evel Moshe Shalcham, within the 30 days, Shari Lesof Shlosha Yamim, Shetam Yimei Evel Moshe, Avar Zayardin. Because as we know, 3 days after they went, that they gave the got the tzeda, as we discussed, they crossed the Yarden. Shemishamanu lomdem, shemes Moshe, b'shiva ba'adar. Kshatamona, shlosha b'shlosha l'mafreya, when you count 33 back. So it must be that it was within the Yemei Evel Moshe. What's the Al-Karchi? Why is Rashi so forced? He'd rather not say this if he didn't have a choice. So the answer is because if you say it happened during the Yemei Bichei Evel Moshe, what, was it before Hashem told him that they're going in? Because right when Hashem told him that they're going in, that's when he sent them. But, so according to that, that's the dechika, that's the difficulty, because then we would say that it would be unusual that Yehoshua ben Nun would do all these preparations without getting the tzivui. The Mishmar Zav does quote a raya. We're going to get to someone who argues in a minute, but a raya that Rashi is right, that this was during Yemei Bichi Evel Moshe, because he points out that if you look at the beginning of Yehoshua, we didn't pick up on this in the last year, it says, Vayomar Hashem el Yehoshua ben Nun. V'chulu v'chulu. Hashem says to Yehoshua ben Nun. And later on in the parak, Yehoshua is mentioned. And then the beginning of our parak, Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun. Minashitim v'chulu, we continue. Why here does it say Yehoshua ben Nun again? Most of the time, almost every time in this Sefer, it says Yehoshua. It does not say Yehoshua ben Nun. That's very few times. Why would he be called ben Nun by his father's name? Maybe if he wasn't his own man yet, he was still in the shadow of Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't Yehoshua the leader. That's why it still classifies him as Yehoshua ben Nun. That's why in that first pasuk, Moshe died and Yehoshua ben Nun took over, because that's when he's taking over. But then he's called Yehoshua, Yehoshua, Yehoshua. But maybe, says the Mishpat Hazav, that's the point of the pasuk according to Rashi, that these malachim were said out during the Yemei B'chiyev of Moshe. Moshe's aura was still there at least the 30 days after he died, and that's why it alludes to that by saying Yehoshua ben Nun. That is a remez, a smach, that this was done earlier. Who argues on Rashi? The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon suggests that this was the day that it was finished, the day that the Yemei B'chiyev Moshe were finished, because it was Vav Nisan, right? Zayin Adar, he died, that day counts as day one, through Vav Sivan, on that same day. Let's say you say Mixas Yom Kikulo. That day he got the Tzivui, and he sent them out. He sent the Meraglim on that day, on Vav Sivan. On that day, they weren't so far away. They came to Rachav. She sent them out that night. Tchilas Yom Zayin. They come back on Yom Zayin. And on that day, Yeshua gives the command for the 3 days. So the Gra works it out that it wasn't Dafka within the days of B'chiyev El Moshe. Okay, but now let's get to the, not just the when, but the what. What exactly happened here? And it's described in the first pasuk of the parak. Vayishlach Yeshua ben Nun min Ashitim, Shnayim Anashim Miraglim. Two men. Miragel. Right, that word is used here. It's not used earlier in Shlach. Miraglim. Two. Not 12. Two Miraglim. Cheresh. We'll have to see what that means. Lamar. Saying to them, Luchu Re'u Es Aretz Ves Yericho. Go see the land, go see Yericho, Vayelchu, and they came to the house of Rachav. The big Shiloh, the big question that all the Mefarshim ask is, didn't Yehoshua learn from mistakes? Wasn't the first set of Meraglim a major flaw, a major mistake? Moshe shouldn't have done it, he shouldn't have listened to the Am, and yet he sent them tragic consequences. So what's Yehoshua doing here? Why is he sending more Meraglim? Right? He was there! He knows! So why exactly is it that he sent the Meraglim? Says the Radak in general terms, well, he sent them to give Am Yisrael chizuk. V'hu, says the Radak, hu lo sholcham, elo fi sheyada sheyatzlichu b'shlichusam, v'yarchivu lev Yisrael b'besaros tovos. He knew they would be successful. Why? According to Chazal, doesn't say it in the Pasuk, but according to Chazal, who were these Meraglim? Who are the Meraglim? According to Chazal, they were Pinchas and Kalev. The Pasuk says, as we'll get to Hashem in Pasuk Dalid, we'll get to a Medrash, that Pinchas and Kalev were the two. We'll get to that later. So they were tzaddikim, right? It wasn't like there was a chance that they would come back with an evil report. Okay, as a general, so he knew they would be successful, so he sent them. Says the Malbim on a deeper level, no. There were five differences between the Meraglim sent by Moshe and the Meraglim sent by Yehoshua, and they're all alluded to in this Pasuk right here, in this first Pasuk. Five differences. Difference number one, says the Malbim, the great, I didn't mention it last year, but Reb Chaim is quoted as saying that there were four great Mefarshim in the previous generation, meaning the 1800s, that spent much of their time proving the connection of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. And how Torah Shebalpeh is rooted in Torah Shebichsav, and it's alive, and it relates to our life, because that's what we had to fight against during the beginnings of the Reform Movement. And that was the Malbim, and there are different Masorahs, exactly what he said, the Malbim, and the Ksava Kabbalah, and the Meshach Chachma, and Rav Hirsch. That's the Masorah story that I heard. But the Malbim was one of them, one of the classics on Navi. So the Malbim says, Vayishlach Yehoshua, that's the first difference. Yehoshua made this decision. It wasn't the Am. Vayishlach Yehoshua, ba la'ashiv al she'ela she'tipol bazeh. Eich sholach Yehoshua meraglim. Acharei shero hara she'nimshach b'shlichas ha'meraglim yimei Moshe. Meishiv ki hayu chamisha avdelim. Five. Number one is meraglim she'sholach Moshe hayu al pi she'elas ha'am. Vatikru v'nei lai kulchem. Nishlacha anashim lefaneinu. But here is Yehoshua midasa atzmo. V'lo midasa am. Number one. Number two. Moshe sent them from Midbar Parim. It was a long distance. Rachok min ha'aretz. Vayimistafkin b'mahuzaretz. They really had a suffix. They didn't know. But here it's min ha'shitim. Next phrase in the pasuk. From Shitim. That's right on the gvul. They can already see the beauty. They can already see Eretz Kanaan. Number three. Moshe sent 12. When you send a large group, there's a chance for difficulties. Yeshua sent, what's the next phrase? Shnayim. Shnayim. Just two of them. Number four. Cheresh. What does cheresh mean? Quietly. Bishtika. They didn't make it to, oh, hullabaloo. Right, like the Medrash even says, the difference to everything that you want successful, it has to be bitznius. The second luchos versus the first luchos. So they were quiet here. Cheresh. And number five, he gave them a specific purpose. Lamar. Lechuru et ha'aretz et yiricho. Go to the land. Go see, it was clear, how to conquer, what we should do. So five differences, and that's why it was safe in the eyes of Yehoshua to send the miraglim. Good. The Biurei Chasidus quotes, also one volume on all of Navi, he quotes a thought that the other Mefarshim also connect to, and maybe there was a difference in history between Yehoshua and Moshe. Moshe obviously symbolized Nes. Everything about Moshe's existence was Nes. The Mon, the Anan, the Be'er, the three great Nisim. It was all Nes. So you're going to send Meraglim now to see how to conquer it. But if Moshe was going to take them in, it was all going to be Bederech Nes. Nothing to talk about. Don't send Meraglim. That's why it was inappropriate. But now Moshe has died. Yehoshua is a different world. It's Bederech HaTeva. They're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to start a country. They're going to start a government. They're going to start everything. And therefore, you can't compare. Now it's appropriate. Now this is just regular strategy. You have to go in and figure out what you're going to do. Because this is something that is needed by this generation. So maybe it always depends on time. We'll talk about this again, Be'ez Hashem, when we get into Shmuel Aleph. And we're talking about the request of Am Yisrael for a king. And the radical reaction of Shmuel Hanavi and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? What was so bad about asking for a king? The king is a mitzvah, so we'll have to talk about there also the relationship of the time period of Nes and Teva. Good, so those are the five differences. The word cheresh also is leaves a lot of food for thought in the words of the Rishonim. So cheresh means quietly, that's what we would have said. Cheresh, Rashi says beruz, silently. Amar lohem asu atzmechem, but a little deeper. Not just silent, but make yourselves into silent people, meaning mutes. Pretend you're a deaf mute. Kidei shelo yastiru divrei mipnechem. He's giving them strategies. Pretend you're dumb, right, in the legal sense, not in just the insulting sense. Kidei shelo yastiru divrei mipnechem. So people won't watch themselves before they talk to you, and they'll be able to hear secrets. Davar acher, or a second pshat, says Rashi, cheres. Put the nekuda, make it a sin into a shin, so it's like cheres, like an earthenware kli. Hatinu atzmechem kederos, take pots, make yourself into a potter. Kedeshetiu nirin kikadarin. So you look like a potter, so no suspicion. What are you doing? You're going through the land with your pots and you're selling pots. Take kli cheres. I saw one of the achronim say, why dafka cheres? Out of all the kalim. Why not kli matches? Why dafka kli cheres? Because as we know, cheres halachically only has a value for how it is used. The inside of it is a clay kibble. The value is not in the material. Metal has a value. Glass has a value. Earthenware is clay. It doesn't have a value. That's why it's only metame mitocho. It's not metame if you touch it. Only if you hang something in it. So maybe that's the message also Yeshua is giving them. Don't think that you're so great, amazing, something physical on the outside. It's the panemius. It's the message that you have inside and the job and the tafka that you have to do, just like a chicheres is only important for its function. So Yeshua sends them and they come to the house of Isha Zona Ushma Rachav. What's a Zona? Either Pashtus, a Zona. And Chazal tell us that Rachav was involved in for many, many years. For the 40 years, the Gemara even tells us that she was involved in many Averis. She was Mezana with many. But yet, after 40 years, she started to do tshuva. But that's the Pashtus. Isha Zona, Ushma Rachav. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim, on the Kuf Tezayin. Right? How did she know, as we'll see soon, that the nations were scared and were nervous of Am Yisrael? Because she was with all of them privately, and she saw that they didn't have any strength left. After being with them for 40 years, it says, the Gemara says, Kuf Tezayin Zvachim, Amru, Bas Yud Shanim Haisa, Kishi Yasu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. She was only 10 years old when they left Mitzrayim, when Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Vezinsa Kol Mem Shana Shah Yisrael Bamidbar. She was Mezana for 40 years. Achar Nun Shana Nisgaira. and she was Niskayer after that. It sounds like the story of Rav Elazar ben Derdaya, Mesechta Avodah Zarah, right? He was every zone of Olam. But at the end, she says she was Misgayer, as we'll get back to her tshuva by the Sheva a little bit later. But this is Racha, another pshat, Rashi and the Radak both quote, Mocheres Mazon, like the Targum Yonasan says, Punta Kisa, she was an innkeeper. Ushma Rachav, and her name was Rachav. Rachav, whatever her origins were, whether it's literally Zona or a Mochre Mazonos, we know that Chazal tell us that she ended up having a tremendous dynasty. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yudal and Mabeis tells us that 8 Nevi'im came out from Rachav Azona. Neria, Baruch, Seria, Machsia, Yirmiyahu, Chilkia, Hanam, El Shalom. And Rabbi Yehuda says even Chulda Hanavi is mi b'nei banayah shel Rachav Azona Haisa. Right? Amazing. Right? She was a beautiful woman, Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us on the next Daf Tezvav, that Rachav was one of the four. Tana Rabbanan, Arba Nashim Yefefios, Hayu Ba'olam. 4 beautiful women. Sarah, Rachav, Avigail, and Esther. Those 4. Rachav and Avigail and Esther and Sarah, those 4. So she was beautiful. She was involved in whatever she was in the beginning, but ultimately, according to Chazal, she married Yoshua ben Nun, and she had tremendous descendants. So they go to her house. Before they even do anything, the pasuk describes that the king of Yericho heard about it, and he sends his men to go and root them out. What does she do? She hides them. But the word used to describe she hides them is Pasuk Dalet Vatitzpino. She hides him. Titzpino, not titzpinam, plural. Vatitzpino, why singular? Rashi says, either Yesh Mikros Medabrim Al Harabim Ki Yachid. No, Labdafka. It means sometimes the Pasuk just talks it to a singular, a Yachid, even though it means a Rabin. Lafisha Mia Rabatman Asaf. She did it quickly. And into a tiny little area, Makam Tsar, Ki'ilu Haya Yechidi, as if he was singular. Okay, one, or it might mean Vatitzpino, each one she hid in a different spot, so that, you know, they wouldn't be noticeable. But then Rashi quotes Chazal. Rashi quotes to Tanchuma, who says, who are these Meraglim? Pinchas and Kalev. Pinchas amad lefneihem velo ra'uhu, lefisha haya kemalach. Pinchas was like a malach. He was invisible. And that's why they didn't see him. That's pretty amazing. Vatitz Pino. She hid him. She only had to hide Kalev. She didn't have to hide Pinchas. Okay. So we continue. And they come to the gate. And she puts them on the roof. And she says to them, Vatomer Lanashim. Here's an amazing declaration of faith by Rachav. Pasuk Tes, Yodati Kinosan Hashem Lachem Es Haaretz. V'chi Naflei Maschem Aleinu. V'chi Namogu Kol Yoshvei Haaretz Bibrechem. I know what Hashem did, and your Ema. I heard about the Kriyas Yamsuf. V'chi shamanu eis asher hovish Hashem es mei Yamsuf mipreichem. B'tzeischem imitzrayim. I heard about that. V'asher atzisim l'shnei malchei ho'emori. And what you did to the Amoriite kings, to Sichon and to Og. V'anishma, and we heard. V'ayimas l'vavenu, our hearts have melted. What is the double lashon of v'anishma? It already says, we heard. Here it just says, and we heard. Without any details after that. It says the Meshechachma, the beginning of Parshas Balak. Bilam prophesized about them, about Am Yisrael. They got Bilam, right? Asks the Meshechachma, at the beginning of Parshas Balak, why did Hashem have to make an unbelievable Nesaker? Why a Nesaker? And who cares anyway if Bilam would curse the Jews? Who cares? So Hashem would just bless them. Why do we care what Bilam says? Says the Meshechachma, Hashem wanted to show and put the awe of Am Yisrael onto the other nations. So he did that through action, but he also did that through speech. By what Bilam said, if Bilam, the greatest of the anti-Semites, starts talking about the greatness of Am Yisrael, then the other nations realize, uh-oh, we're in trouble. But says the Meshechachma, maybe one might say that they'll say, oh, the Jews must have paid Bilam off. That's why he's saying such great things about them. That's why Hashem made the donkey talk. Why? Because Hashem was telling them, just like the power of speech. Power of speech I give to the donkey, power of speech I give to Bilam. Nothing to do with Am Yisrael. Nothing to do with the Jews. They didn't pay him off. And that's why. That's the double Vanishma here. We heard about everything, and Vanishma, and we heard. They heard from Bilam. Vayimas levavenu, and that caused our hearts to melt. And I realize, Ki Hashem Elokechem hu Elokim Hashemayim Mimal V'Yalaris Bitachas. So she says, swear to me. Hishava ni Bashem Ki Asisi Imachem Chesed. Swear to me, Unesatem li Os Emes. And give me a true sign. Chesed and Emes. Says the Radak, Emes means Mishur Sadin. Chesed is Lefnim Mishur Sadin. She was telling them, guys, I'm hiding you, so you, by right, I have the ability to ask that you save me. That's Emes. Chesed is even my family. Even my family, please swear to me that you're going to save my family. V'achisim es avi v'esimi, my whole family, save them. What do they answer? Nafshenu tachtecham lamus. We are prepared to die instead of you if we say anything. Meaning we promise. That's a very strong lashon. Nafshenu tachtecham lamus. It even sounds like if anybody else tries to kill you, we'll die in your stead. That's what it says. Nafshenu tachtecham lamus. That's what it sounds like. Says Rav Yitzchak Saratskin in the Rinas Yitzchak. In his commentary here, is that allowed? We know there's a mitzvah, lo samar al dam re'echa. If somebody is in trouble, you have to save them. But what if somebody is dying? Do you have to die instead of them? Are you allowed to die instead of them? Even putting yourself into a suffix sakana is a major discussion. And we say it's a machlokas bavli Yerushalmi. And we paskin it's a rishus. Somebody giving a kidney to somebody else who needs a kidney. He's left with one kidney. Suffix sakana. If it's suffix, some poskim say today, maybe now, based on medical evidence, it's not even suffix sakana, because people can live very well with one kidney. But let's say it's suffix sakana. So it's a reshus to do that. It's not a chiyuv. So here, are they even allowed to? This is vadai. We'll die instead. So Rinas Yitzchak just leaves it but tzarach iyan. If that's literally what it means, tzarach iyan. Hacha imi yirtze l'shloch ba yehem yad al hamis osam hara yehe din hatzarach. What is it? Rodef? Does Rodef apply to, and it's even in, aren't even Jews. It's b'nei Noach. So are they allowed to do it even for a Jew, let alone for a Ben Noach? So that's his question here, whether you take these psukim literally. Anyway, they swear to her, and she lets them off. She lets them off the roof. We know her house was up against the wall of the city, so she says, go and climb out. So hinei anachnu ba'im ba'aretz es tikvas chut ashani azeh. She let him off with the rope, and they told her to tie this scarlet ribbon to the door so they'll know which house is hers. Rashi quotes a fascinating medrash. Rashi says she let them down from the roof with a chevel, with a rope. That rope, explains Rashi, was the rope that mena'afim, those that she had been mezana with all these years, they used to climb, they wouldn't go through the front door, they used to climb through on the rope. Dafka, the rope that she used for Aveira, she is now is using for mitzvah for the Hatzalah. Ba'oso chevel v'chalon hayom no'afin olin eleha amra. She says, Ribono shel olam, be'elu chatasi, be'elu timcholi. With these I sinned, with these, please be mochel me. I'm trying to do tshuva now. Unbelievable. Exactly like the Rambam describes in Hilchos Tshuva in the second parak, that tshuva is in the same place, in the same situation, the same everything here. What is she doing? She has two men in private. What does she do? She saves them. She sends them out. She says, you know, I'm coming to the realization, an amazing declaration of faith we have from Rachav, right? One of the most major declarations in all of Tanakh by a non-Jew. Right, we have Yisro, also makes some types of declarations, but here Rachav does, and there again, they swear twice, another rendition of the Shavuot said later, but either way, they're sent out safely, they return, they go back from the mountain, and they come to Yeshua ben Nun, they tell him everything that happened, and Yeshua says, okay, Kinasan Hashem b'yadeinu was kol haaretz, v'gam namogu kol yoshvei haaretz b'paneinu. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to go in, so we are ready to go into Eretz Canaan. Okay, we'll stop here, Be'ez Hashem, and we will continue next time.